12. We're looking at a new section. We've looked at our attitude in service, in serving the Lord, verses 1 and 2. And then we turned and we started looking at actually verses 1 through 4. And then we looked at our actions in service. Your blue outline is the outline for the message. Consider these words in Romans chapter 12, starting verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Through the rest of the chapter, we're going to be considering our agape in serving the Lord. Today, we'll be considering our agape in our character. Our character. How we serve the Lord. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to gather together, to sit under the preaching of your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here now with us, seeking to open the eyes of our understanding, seeking to help us understand your truths. Help us, Lord, in humility to receive the truth of your word. Help us with a teachable spirit to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Teach us, Lord, your ways. What is your message for us? Help us to worship our way through the listening of this message, through the proclaiming of this message. Help us to be in awe of you, our great Jehovah. Help us to respond in awe as we obey. As we learn in Sunday school, Lord, help us to commit to believe all that you say. Help us to commit to obey everything you say. Guide us now, we pray. We thank you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. God commands that we take action, verses 6 through 8. He has given us the spiritual gifts and the grace to do His good pleasure, His perfect will. We need genuine love to accomplish this. Genuine love to accomplish the spiritual gifts. Why do we need genuine love? Because those gifts are not for ourselves. Those are for others. So our love can't be hypocritical. So consider these words of John Stott. They're actually in your bulletin. What cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It is a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also addictive. And even though Jesus reserved his most severe words of condemnation for the hypocrite, we still seem to prefer that lifestyle to truth and authenticity. I hope that that's not prevalent amongst us. We want to be non-hypocritical in our love for Christ. A Greek scholar, Spyros Zodiates, said a man sat through a church service. Then on his way home, he fussed about the sermon. He fussed about the traffic. He fussed about the heat and fussed about the lateness of the meal being served. Then he bowed and prayed. His son was watching him all through this post-church experience. Just as they were beginning to pass the food, the little boy said, "Daddy, did God hear you when we left church and you started fussing about the sermon and about the traffic and about the heat?" The father sort of blushed and said, "Well, yes, son, he heard me." The son goes on to say, "Well, Daddy, did God hear you when you just prayed for this food right now?" Daddy responded, "Well, yes, son, he heard me." The son continued, "So, well, Daddy, which one did God believe?" Hypocrisy is often something that we fall into because we are intentionally seeking to stay away from it. With this thought of hypocrisy in mind, let's ask the question, how do you love? How do you love? Verses 9 and 10, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." Roman numeral 1, practice genuine love. Practice genuine love. Paul calls us to practice genuine love. The Greek word for love is agape. Self-sacrificing love. It's willful love. It's intentional love. It's something you choose to do. You don't feel agape. You choose to do it. It's not natural. It's not natural love. Notice here, Paul assumes that this love already exists. He's not calling for us to love. He's qualifying our love. Your love should be there. Your agape. You should be a people of agape. You should be a people of self-sacrificing love. This should be assumed. This should be normal for us as children of God. We should be children of love, of agape in Christ Jesus. But Paul qualifies how we should be loving. This love should be without hypocrisy. It should be genuine. The phrase without dissimulation. Dissimulation is being insincere. Don't be without sincerity in your love. Don't be hypocritical in your love, Paul says. It's fitting that it comes, he says it directly after the point of dealing with our spiritual gifts. Because we must display our spiritual gifts, use our spiritual gifts with agape, with love, with this self-sacrificing love. Not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of God and for the glory of benefit of others and the glory of God. The grace of God should have an effect on our character. We'll be getting to this passage in Sunday school near the end of the year, maybe the beginning. But in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, we read about adding to your faith virtue and to your faith knowledge and different things. And it ends with, add to your faith and to the like, love. Love is the capstone of our Christ-like character. As we exercise our character that develops a knowledge and understanding of Christ-likeness we need to display, we will see the end result of our Christ-likeness will be love, genuine love, agape love, agape. Self-sacrificing love. Love that we choose to do diligently, faithfully, daily, moment by moment. Our love should be sincere. We should act like we love others. Not just act like we love others, but we should genuinely love people. Spirit-filled people should love differently than the world, such as loving those who may be difficult to love as well as those who are easy to love. As Christians, we should be loving people differently than the way the world loves. The world loves whoever is easy to love, don't we? The challenge for us as Christians, we're called to love our enemies. We're called to love those who are unlovable. We are called to display Christ-like quality of love where He loved those who hated Him, who killed Him, who did not want to have anything to do with Him. 1 John 4:8, is either in your notes, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." John, Apostle John, gives us a pretty stinging rebuke here. If you don't love with agape, you are not displaying, you don't know God. For God is love. later on in that chapter, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We are called to be people that love, genuine love, non-hypocritical, but genuine. The truth of our genuineness is found at the heart of the matter, our heart. We correlate love and heart, our heart, don't we? But the heart, the root, the core, do you love? Do you love? The genuineness of our love is at the heart of the matter. It's at the root. In the quietness of your own heart, what do you love? So as we consider, as we have considered before, we consider this genuine love. We looked at love this morning in Sunday school. I think it's fitting how it all came together. The Lord brought it together. But letter A, we are to love God supremely. We looked in Sunday school at our superior love. Jesus requires superior love. But we see here in Matthew chapter 22 a passage that we have gone through before. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Goes on to say, "The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The way we love God, when we love God properly, He helps us to love others the way we should love them. So the heart, the root, the beginning, the foundation of our love must be a proper love for God. What do we see here? We are to love God with all our heart, all thy heart, exclusively. Our love for God must be exclusive, such as our marriage commitment. No other love should rival it or compete with my love for God, my love for Christ. This kind of love is only reserved for God. It's supreme love. It's a choice of the heart. Question, am I willfully, intentionally determining to love God supremely? Or am I just hoping it happens? If we're just hoping it happens, it's not going to happen because it's unnatural. All other loves will benefit from this unique, exclusive love for God. Then he says, we are to love God with all thy soul, wholehearted love, with everything that you are. This is the emotional part of our love, if you will. It is seen when we grieve over sin because of how it grieves our Savior. Does my selfishness grieve my heart as much as it does my Lord's heart? When I love God supremely, I'm going to take on His loves and His hates. I'm going to take on what He loves and I'm going to take on what He hates as what I love and what I hate. He hates sin. Do I hate sin? Well, yes, I really hate it when you guys sin, because that's just, man, I hate that. But I overlook my own sin. Is that how we live? Is that how we operate? We need to learn to hate our own sin as much as God hates our own sin. That's loving God the way that in a supreme love we will learn to love what He loves and hate what He hates. We're also to love God with all thy mind, though it dependently. Be dependent upon God. Our love for God must supersede our own mindset and dependence upon ourselves. We must be willing to submit our will to God's will with our mind. What I want, I can do this. No, you can't. I can love you, Lord. No, you can't. We need to submit ourselves and rely upon Him. Lord, help me to love you. Help me to honor you. Help me to hate what you hate. Help me to love what you love. My love is displayed in what I think about most. Consider this. When your mind is in neutral, what are you thinking about? When you're just daydreaming, what are you thinking about? My love is displayed in what I think about most. What do you think about most? When you just sit there and daydream, You're thinking about what you love, what's most important to you. Consider. Think about it. What we allow to consume and control our thoughts is what we truly care about. When we love God supremely, we will take on His mindset of love as well as His mindset of hate. So we see love God supremely, letter A, letter B, as we see in the second part of verse, the middle part of verse 9, abhor that which is evil. Hate what God hates. Hate what God hates. Paul is calling us to detest with horror that which is evil. Detest with horror. Be horrified by sin. So last time we were horrified by sin. When was the last time we were horrified by our own sin? This evil is that which would cause us to have a broken fellowship with God and disobedience to Him. Do we value our fellowship with God to such a degree that we are horrified when we sin? That's a tall task. How do I do that? It's learning to love God supremely. When we love God supremely, we will be horrified at our own sin. We will be. Genuine love shrinks away from those things that are hurtful to our relationship with God. Genuine love shrinks away from those things that are hurtful to our relationship with God. Consider Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance see in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Through the Word of God we gain understanding. Through the Word of God we gain His mind. We understand Him more. We learn to love what He loves, and in turn we learn to hate what He hates. That's why it's so vital, so important that we are diligent in daily devotions. That's why it's so diligent, that so important that we know this book, that we read this book daily. If you can get it on audio and you're driving, and instead of turning on the radio and listening to talk radio or whatever else may be there, maybe consider turning on the book and listening to what it says and getting that just going through your mind, and let that be the catchy ditty that goes around in your head. Words that glorify God because they are His words. Hate what God hates. This evil is that which would cause us to have broken fellowship with God, which is being disobedient to God. Genuine love shrinks away from those things that are hurtful to our relationship with God. Genuine love is displayed in hating that which destroys lives. Do we hate those things that destroy lives? Do we hate those things that destroy our life? We must hate what God hates. We must let her see love what God loves. Love what God loves. End of verse 9 says, cleave to that which is good. The word cleave, if you will, be glued to, super glued. It's a kind of glue that that no solvent can weaken it. It's a kind of glue that when the bond is broken, the bond actually stays together, and it tears apart parts of what it was glued to. When you take two pieces of wood and you glue them together, the glue itself is stronger than the wood. And if you're able to tear apart that bond, if you're able to break that apart, the glue doesn't really break. It pulls parts of the wood with it. See how strong this is? Cleave to that which is good. We need to have a bond, a relationship with good so tight that basically it doesn't break. Cleave to that which is good. Beneficial. What is beneficial? We want to hate those things that are not beneficial, but we want to cleave to those things that love those things that are beneficial. Genuine love is being glued to those things that are beneficial to your relationship with God. This will help our love to be unselfish and to also grow. It'll be thriving. We should love the right things. Do you love the right things? Do we love those things that are right and good and beneficial and Christ-honoring? Do we love those things? We should show our love toward God by loving others. Do we love to help other people? Do we love to be unselfish? Do we love to encourage? Do we love to share the Word of God? Here's something. This is great. God showed this to me. This is awesome. It helped me. I want you to be blessed by it too. Do we love God's Word and see the benefit enough to do that? Do we love what God loves? God loves it when we share His Word, doesn't He? Do we love that too? Do we love sharing God's Word? We need to. Genuine love is displayed in constantly clinging to that which is good, what builds up and encourages others. Do you love encouraging and building up others? Do you love being a Barnabas to somebody? Do you love that? Do you love being a Paul to somebody where you're almost mentoring them, you're sharing with them the love of Christ and the Word of God? Do you love that? Do you love taking on Timothy's, looking for those who you can just encourage and bless and just build them up, encourage them to seek and follow Christ? Do you love that? God loves that. Be loving. Why? Why should we be loving? Because you represent Jesus Christ. As a child of God, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, Christian, Christian. Maybe we ought to start saying it that way. Just really emphasize it's Christ. We're coming up to Christmas. Okay? Let's emphasize Jesus. Maybe we all ought to start making a new faction of people, Jesusians. We're going to do Jesus-mas. Mas Jesus in Spanish. Mas Jesus, right? Elevate Christ. Magnify Christ. Who is He? Christian has become lost in the shuffle. But emphasize who Christ is. Reflect Christ because He is who you have professed to follow. So we see that we are to practice genuine love in verse 9. In verse 10 it says, be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Practice gracious love. Well, why should we practice gracious love? Any idea? Have you ever heard or done? Have you ever been the recipient of one who shows their love to you in an ungracious way? Have you ever been one who, to show your love to somebody else in an ungracious way? Well, I'm speaking the truth. The Bible says speak the truth. So I spoke the truth. I let him have it. I loved him enough to tell him the truth. Well, we're stopping short. Speak the truth in love. You love them enough to tell them the truth in love. Practice gracious love. The truth hurts. Don't add to it. The truth is offensive enough. Don't add your ungracious ways to it to blow somebody out of the water. You want them to receive the message. Don't you love them enough for them to receive the message? You want them to get it, don't you? The best way for them to get it is to love them through it. Love them. Grace. Do we graciously display our love to one another? Because if we don't, then it's coming across in hypocrisy. Do we realize that? Christ was gracious in how He loved. Yes, were there some that He rebuked and put in their place? He loved them to be offensive in what He said to them. Yes, the religious rulers, those vipers, the righteous zealots that know better.
hardening those who had a hardened heart. That was Christ, those that Christ rebuked. That's rarely our place. Rarely our place. Our place is to practice gracious love. Consider with me how we are to be devoted to each other in the family of Christ. As a family in Christ. The first part of verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love." Letter A, be devoted to loving one another. Be devoted to loving. Are you devoted to loving one another? Devote yourself. We consider devotions. What's devotions? Devotions are a time that we devote this time to God. Now, too often times, we get so busy that we think our devotions are, I read a verse of Scripture, that was my devotion. That's not devotions. Sorry, that's not devotions. Devotions is when you devote your time to God and meditate upon His Word, and you seek to receive from God His Word, and you speak to God. You're devoting time to Him. I understand there's some days where you woke up late and you're on the go and you know, okay, but that shouldn't be normal. That shouldn't be normal. And if that does end up being the time that you had, that should be an exception. And we should love God supremely enough to go back and give Him His time for the day. Think on Him through the day. Love Him. Be devoted to Him. We need to be, as we should be devoted to God, we should be devoted to loving one another. Give time to loving one another. Be intentional in loving one another. This word kindly affection, this phrase that we see here translated from the Greek, Paul made it up. He took two Greek words for love, philos and storge, and put them together. It's nowhere else found in Greek literature. This is a special kind of love. It's a natural kind of family love. Why is this kind of love unnatural in the rest of Greek literature? Because where do you see a love for, is it normal to have a love for somebody else as you do your family in the secular world? To have the type of love, I believe it's an exception. To love someone like a son who is not part of your family. To love someone like a daughter who is not part of your family, who you're not a blood relation to. That's an exception, isn't it? It's unnatural to go that route. It's unnatural to have that as your kind of love. But consider the body of Christ. We are a family in Christ. We should have, that should be natural for us to have this kind of unnatural love, shouldn't it? Because you don't see this type of a family in the secular world as the norm, do we? Our love for each other, we should be intentional. We should be devoted to loving one another. This is a natural kind of family love. Love that is characterized by devotion to each other. Are you devoted to others in this church? Are you devoted to other people in Christ's family? We should be specially devoted to each other. Galatians tells us that we are to love, especially the household of faith. Especially. Not negating our love for others, but especially the household of faith. Aren't we? As the grace of God grows in our lives, our love for others will be changing into a natural love that you don't have to force. The more the grace of God grows in our lives, the more Christ-like we become, the more natural this love will flow. Be honest, there's times where we have to force our love, don't we? I know it says to love, so I'm going to love. They're really hard to love. I'm sure my wife feels that way on occasion. I'm supposed to love him, so I'm
swallow it and go. I'll love him. Doesn't deserve it, but I'm called to love him. As that relationship grows, that natural love flows more freely. That's the way it should be amongst us. That's the way it should be amongst us. This genuine devotion of love for others is proof in our spiritual life. It is proof of our spiritual life. When we genuinely love others, it is a proof of our spiritual life. Do we realize that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Those are strong words. Love is so vital, so necessary, so important for us to have. The Bible speaks frequently about this kind of genuine, devoted love that we are to have for one another. Consider, if you will, just real quick, four passages of Scripture. I won't have you turn there, but just listen. What kind of love is depicted here in the family kind of love? "Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Here we see that genuine, devoted love is shown in compassion. In Psalm 103, verse 13, "Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." This is genuine family sort of love that's displayed in the Bible. And how God loves us, we are to love others. That's genuine love. Genuine love is shown in compassion. Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in whom he delighteth." Here we see genuine devoted love is shown in discipline. Disciplining someone, disciplining a child. You love them and you show your love for them because you teach them this is right and this is wrong. And when you disobey, there's consequences. Loving a child isn't taking a hands-off approach to parenting. That's not love. That's not love. It's tough to discipline a child. It is difficult. When my dad, if he did ever say this, as you've heard the quote, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," when you get a spanking, you, as a child, you say, "No, how can that be?" But the reality is, as a parent, when you have to spank your child, when you have to give your child a consequence for their sin, disobedience, it's very painful for the parent to do that. It hurts. It's tough to go through. And I get why people don't do it. It's a challenge. But it's a challenge that we are to be obedient to God's Word in doing. Disciplining our children according to God's Word. Then we see in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Here we see that genuine devoted love is shown in gentleness. Are we gentle with each other? Are we gentle with each other? 1 Thessalonians 2:11, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." As ye know how we exhorted and comforted. Here we see genuine love, is devoted love is shown in encouragement and comfort. We show our love for each other. At times, we have to bring up the fact that there's a sin. Reproving, rebuking, correcting. There's a time where we need to go before a brother and sister and address a problem. That's showing love. We are to be gentle in how we show love. We are to be gracious in how we show love. Our giving encouragement and comfort, that's a loving action. Compassion. Those are actions of love. That is how we are to be devoted to loving each other. That's God's Word. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? The question that we ask ourselves personally, am I doing this? Am I compassionate in how I love? Am I following through? Am I disciplining in how I love? Am I coming alongside a brother or sister in Christ
and sharing with them a concern that I have. Am I going through the hardships of being a friend, being part of the family of Christ? Am I willing to do the hard jobs in this family? Am I? Are you? The list goes on. There's so many more passages that talk to us about showing devoted love, that family love, and how that is portrayed in the Christian life. So we see, be devoted to loving one another. Then in the second part of verse 10, in honor, preferring one another. Be devoted to honoring one another. This word preferring carries the idea of leading the way. Being an example for others to follow. We are to set the example of respecting others and preferring that others receive honor before we do. There's two aspects of it. It's a leading the way with this attitude. You prefer by leading the way, but in your preferring one another, you prefer in honor. In honoring. I'm going to set the example that I'm going to honor others before myself. That's what God calls us to do. Be devoted to honoring one another. Be devoted to leading others. Showing others this example. It's not about selfishness. It's about sacrifice. It's about sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to choose to lead by example? Are we willing to choose, be intentional at placing others first? That's what God calls for us here. That's what Paul is challenging us here. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife. That strife, selfish ambition. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vainglory. Vainglory, it's empty praise, but it's self-praise. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or self-praise. That should not be our purpose. As a child of God, that is not genuine love. Genuine love is being unselfish, desiring that God would be glorified. But it says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, if you will, more important than themselves. I must treat you as if you are more important than me, and you the same. We submit ourselves in this way. Rivalries within a group are dangerous because they are destructive, especially in the local church body. Pride is the root cause, as it prompts people to push for their own way, their own glory. It's not God's way. In lowliness of mind, having a low opinion of your own opinion. It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? I got something that everybody needs to hear. Really? They would probably say the same thing. That their opinion is something that you need to hear. But they're not going to evaluate your opinion that it's that valuable, usually. Right? We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So as we consider these two verses of in honor preferring one another, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. These two verses really bring the idea of preferring one another, prefer honor for one another in a great way. Preferring, set the example, lead the way. Lead the way in showing honor. There we see, in this we see some aspects of the gifts on display. Leadership, lead by example. Lead by example of showing others. Honor. This is how you do things. This is what the Bible says, encouraging others to do the same. In John 13:34 and 35, this is new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How did Christ love us? Sacrificially. He died to himself. We must have genuine love. We must practice genuine love. We must practice gracious love. Be devoted. Be devoted to loving one another. Be devoted to honoring one another. Are you willing to commit yourself to this? Because Jesus says in verse 35 of John 13, he says, when you do this, by this kind of genuine love for others, all men know that ye are my disciples. We show our true discipleship in how we love. So the question, not how do you see your love, not how are you loving, but how does God see your love? How does God see the love that you think you're doing just fine, that I think I'm doing just fine? Does God see it the same way? In comparison to Christ, how am I loving? Do I come across as hypocritical in my love? Do you come across as hypocritical in your love? Or do we display genuine love for each other? Where do we stand? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, we need your help. We can't love. We cannot love each other the way we are called to without your help. But Lord, thank you. Thank you that it is you, Lord, that works in us both to do and to will of your good pleasure. Give us the will. Give us the desire to love with genuine love. Give us the desire to devote ourselves to loving one another. Give us the desire to honor, devote ourselves to honoring one another. Give us that desire, Lord. And we'll trust you for the grace to help us be obedient. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. Guide us, Lord, we pray. Commit these things to you in Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.